The peacefulness and solitude along Victory Memorial Drive here in Minneapolis mirrors that of the 11th hour, of the 11th day, of the 11th month of 1918, when the guns fell silent and the armistice took effect, the end of the Great War, exactly 100 years ago today. 568 men and women of Hennepin County died in the war. There is a tree and a bronze plaque set in the ground for each. General Pershing was not here for the dedication in June 1921. He did come in August and cruised down the length of the drive in an open touring car. In fact, one needs to stop and read the names on a few of the plaques. Better yet, know the stories of these men and women to get the full effect of what this memorial represents. Of the 568 who died, roughly 180 were killed in action. Another 60 died of wounds. Combat continued up until the final moment at which the armistice took effect. Robert Schneider and Arthur Taberman, both of Minneapolis, served in Company M of the 148th Infantry Regiment. Their unit attacked on the morning of November 10, 1918. On that last full day of the war, both of these men were killed in action. But let me take you back to earlier in the conflict in 1918. Ben Owens and James Buckley were among 2,000 American troops off the coast of Scotland on the night of February 5th, when a German U-boat torpedoed their ship, the USS Tuscania. 230 were lost to the sea. Among those whose bodies washed ashore were Owens and Buckley. Lester Brennan was a graduate of North High School and studied law at the U. He had a fine tenor voice. Music was his passion. Lester was the business manager and understudy to the lead tenor for the Walker Stevens Opera Company in Minneapolis. He died in February during flight training. John Rosenwald was an All-American football player for one of the greatest squads of all time for the U, before becoming a very successful and well-respected physician and surgeon in Minneapolis. He enlisted to serve in the medical detachment of the 151st Field Artillery. First Lieutenant Rosenwald, twice under heavy shell fire, entered the quarry in which Battery C was set in order to care for the wounded. He himself was badly wounded. Rosenwald held on to life for 2 months before dying. Theodore Peterson served in the same medical detachment with Rosenwald. He'd been a swimming instructor at the Minneapolis Athletic Club before he enlisted. He too was badly wounded on the same day as Rosenwald, March 5th, 1918. Peterson willingly gave his life after being badly wounded. He gave first gas tests in order to save the lives of the other men about him, and he died that night, painfully, no doubt. Both Peterson and Rosenwald received the Distinguished Service Cross for heroism. So many young lives snuffed out, their promising futures extinguished. Irving Roth graduated from Minneapolis East High and McAllister College. At McAllister, he was captain of the track team, editor of the school's newspaper, and an intercollegiate debater. He somehow found time to teach Bible classes at the Y. He survived 6 months at the front as a volunteer ambulance driver. When the U.S. entered the war, Irving enlisted, received an officer's commission, and became a pilot. Three German planes shot him down on September 26th. His grieving mother wrote of her son, "He was a lad of so much pluck and pep and would have made so much of his life if he had been spared." The fog of sorrow is dissipated, but the cost in lives remains. More than 250 of the 568 died of disease. Lydia Whiteside is one of six nurses honored on Victory Memorial Drive. She saw considerable action near the front with a mobile hospital unit. She died on October 21st from pneumonia following a bout with influenza. Ernest Wolf flew photo recon missions over German positions. He routinely evaded patrols or pursuit planes and crisscrossed the line numerous times. On August 1st, on his fourth pass, after being pushed back three times by patrols, the Germans shot him down and killed him. Elmer Smith of Edina High School enlisted just days after the U.S. entered the war. He was 17 years old. Private Sherman first saw combat with the 9th Regiment on April 13, 1918. He endured intense artillery fire, and then he fought hand-to-hand for 2 hours against attacking German stormtroopers, veteran soldiers. He again saw serious action in June and in September, and by this time, he too was a veteran soldier. In October, the 9th Regiment took part in the assault on Blancmont Ridge. Thousands, tens of thousands of French had died in 4 years trying to take that position. Attackers faced an open slope more than a mile long. Private Sherman died on October 3rd, the first day of nearly a month of costly fighting which took place before the Americans took Blancmont Ridge. Blancmont Ridge is not a name well known to Americans, but it should be. So many lives extinguished as their journey was just beginning. Everett McClay of Eden Prairie was the grandson of John McClay, who died while serving with the 1st Minnesota Infantry Regiment in the Civil War. Everett was killed in action on November 4th, 1 week before the armistice. His wife delivered their first child 1 month later. Robert Northway was 46 years old and a very successful businessman with a good life. He left that career to enlist. His father was a Civil War combat veteran. Northway was badly wounded leading his section into battle. On November 12, 1918, the day after the armistice, Corporal Robert Northway died of wounds. Enoch Schodel served with the 119th Infantry Regiment. On September 29th, during the Meuse-Argonne Offensive, he suffered wounds in both legs. Surgeons amputated both of his legs in an attempt to save his life. On November 13th, 2 days after the armistice, Private Schodel died of blood poisoning. And finally, Linton Scoba graduated from Minneapolis Central High School. He left the U and enlisted in the Marines. Scoba was gassed in June at Belleau Wood and hospitalized. He didn't return to his unit until August. On September 15th, Scoba was reported missing in action. His parents received no word for a month and then going into the second month. Then on November 2nd, they received word that he was alive. Scoba had been severely wounded, both of his legs paralyzed. He wrote that he was in a prison hospital in Germany and well taken care of. Private Scoba and his fellow POWs no doubt celebrated the end of the war on November 11th and anticipated going home. But Scoba's health took a turn for the worse. He died on December 4th, 1918, while his parents were expecting his return home. Each of these 568 was a life. Each of their stories should be known. God rest their souls.